You know, you don't get to this table that you all are at today without considerable skill and in lots of areas, leadership, communication, lots of things. I'm always impressed when you come and represent your service and represent those who serve us and defend us. I did think, General Dempsey and Admiral Greener, that your response to the question that Senator Shaheen asked was stunningly bad. The question was, have you talked to people, to services that have been dealing with this for longer than we have? Admiral Greener, you said thanks for the tip about Australia and Israel, which Israel would, and General Dempsey, you said you'd just begun that process preparing for this hearing, which I thought was not. It's a good thing we had the hearing. But then in response to what Senator Gildibrand said, General Dempsey, you said you hadn't had time. So maybe I've heard this wrong. Has anybody who works for you been asking these people? This is not management. This is not a tough management thing. Where do you go to find out how people have dealt with this before? And how could that possibly, Admiral Greener, be a tip from somebody on this committee to the principal manager of the United States Navy? And I'll let you answer that first, and then General Dempsey.
Yeah, Senator, thank you. As the legal counsel to General Dempsey, that's one of the areas I've looked into. I've done some research on the UK
system. I was going to ask Admiral Greener, then I'll come to your – and that'll be good. If somebody's looking into this, I'll feel better than I did a minute ago. I'm hope.
Well, Admiral Dorenzi tells me she, too, has had those conversations with our Navy. But I take that aboard. That's something that I should have done, Senator, and I didn't, although we have talked about it with my dad.
Well, now, apparently you hadn't talked about it enough to know that she had talked to him about it, or you would have said that to Senator Shaheen, unless I'm trying to be fair here. I know you have a difficult job. I admire what you do. But this has been going on now for years. Senator McCaskill has been, since the day she got here, trying to draw attention to this effort. Now, you haven't been in this job all that time, but talking to people who have managed this problem longer than we have seems to me the very easiest place to start. The guy at the top should know that. The man or woman at the top should know that.
To be clear, Senator, I've talked about sexual assault in our navies with several of my counterparts. Mm-hmm. What I have not discussed is litigating and taking litigation or the process, if you will, of litigation outside of the chain of command. But I've had numerous conversations with my counterpart.
That's a helpful addition. General Dempsey, you want your attorney to answer?
Yeah, Senators, you know, as part of my duties, I've been looking into these matters. I mean, I even started thinking about it when I was in ISAF and U.S. Forces Afghanistan back in 2009. And got a chance to learn about some of our ally systems, to include Germany, and frankly heard some dissatisfaction with a criminal justice system that was completely bifurcated from the military chain of command. I mean, an individual who had made a decision that a commander with battlefield experience might not have seen as a violation of the rules of engagement and so forth, but it was handed over to civilian prosecutors with no military experience, no combat experience, to make decisions about whether or not it was appropriate for that individual in that particular case to call in fire on a position. So there was some dissatisfaction there. I've recently spoken with a British judge advocate. He sent me an article on the British system that I've been in the process of looking at, and some of my folks are as well. And I know that the service judge advocate, each service judge advocate also has criminal law shops. And just from speaking to some of them, I know that they've considered Australia, the UK, Israel, and others that have looked at this as a not necessarily as a solution to sexual assault, but as just a system for pulling all crimes out of the chain of command and into an independent, in some cases, civilian prosecutor, in some cases, court.
And I would think from a greater management point of view, in addition, and I think you're doing this, I hope you're doing this, but all of the thoughts we can get from other people dealing with this, or how do you stop it from happening? How do you minimize the chances you're going to have to deal with this at a litigated level by whatever you do in the culture of the command? What do you do to stop this from happening? You know, if we find out they're doing no better than we are, that's something that we should know. But I think they've, in many cases, dealt with this in the situations particularly we're going into now, longer than we have in combat and other situations. The question I'm going to submit for the record, and I don't have time for everybody to answer it now, but among others it will be, is to each of the service chiefs, is the soldier, sailor, airman, marine, or Coast Guard person less fearful of being retaliated against for reporting instances of sexual harassment or assault than they were in the past? And I may put a couple of qualifiers on how than they were, say, 18 months ago. And how do you feel that the guidance that commanders are issuing is restoring the trust among members of the service that we need to have?